Good evening. Have you ever asked the question, why? Have you ever, in your mind, if not with your mouth, turned to God and simply said, why? Why me? Perhaps when faced with physical suffering, or perhaps when faced with mental suffering. The heartache of seeing someone else suffer. Loneliness. The heartache of having an unsaved loved one. Suffering that is not as apparent, perhaps as physical suffering, but can take as much, if not more, of a toll. Has it ever caused you to ask God why? Perhaps the question has not been, why me? Perhaps the question has been, why now? Have you ever questioned God's timing? Have you ever wondered why, when things were going so good, all of a sudden, this had to happen? Have you ever asked God, why there? Has your lot been cast at some time or another? In a place where you didn't want to be. Perhaps you had a burden and you couldn't shake the burden. Like Jonah, maybe you fled. But eventually you ended up at Nineveh and you asked God why there. Have you ever gone to somebody who is going through a great deal of suffering? A fiery trial of their faith, as Peter puts it. And tried to comfort them, but not been able to because you haven't experienced what they've experienced, what they are experiencing? Or perhaps you've been the one that's been suffering and somebody has come to you and asked you or tried to comfort you. And perhaps you didn't say it out loud, but perhaps you said it under your breath or to yourself, how would you know what I'm going through? I would like to consider with you this evening our great high priest, the one that ever liveth to make intercession for us. And in particular, I would like to consider with you this evening his wisdom. You think of that subject, it's a tremendous subject. You could have a month of meetings, you could have a year of meetings and never scratch the surface. But I think it, at least for me, it does me good when I stop and meditate on the wisdom of our great high priest. Because when we don't understand what we're going through, when we can't see the reason, it's great comfort. You can even get joy from knowing the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, as our great high priest, is not only an omniscient, all-knowing God, but He is the very essence of wisdom. It sort of strikes me as being like the cleft that God made for Moses in the rock, where He put Moses and He covered him with His hand. To dwell on the topic of Christ and His wisdom is sort of like that cleft in a rock. We don't know the reason. We don't know why. But it's great comfort and great joy and great help to know that the one who ever lives to make intercession for us not only knows what we're going through, but knows exactly what we need at that particular time. For example, Peter, when he fell. If it was up to you and I, do you think that we ever would have prayed for Peter's faith? I think it probably is the last thing that would come to your mind. Unfortunately, in the human streak, we might have prayed that he got his just desserts. We might have prayed that we would not be tarnished by him and his fall. We might have prayed that God would be merciful to him. But I don't think we would have prayed for his faith. The Lord Jesus knew he could restore Peter. He knew that after the fall, he could use him again. He knew that even after the fall, Peter would be a little wiser and a little better for it. That some of the chaff in his life was about to be shaken out. But he also knew that if his faith failed, he would never be able to use Peter again. So he prayed for Peter's faith. And in one sentence, we see the wisdom of the Lord Jesus. Sort of like with Solomon when he solved the problem with the baby and the two mothers. Anybody with his authority could have solved that problem. But the way in which he solved it, the whole kingdom knew of his wisdom. And the Lord Jesus said, "A greater than Solomon is here." Turn to Colossians chapter 2, please. The subject, perhaps, is not one that we think on often. But I think if we put it in the back of our minds as something that can be of great help in a time, perhaps, that we're not aware is approaching at the moment. The wisdom of Christ seems to be something that brings great comfort to the heart of the believer. And so Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. As for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. That their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding the mystery of God. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I want you to keep that little phrase in the front of your mind and turn over to the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read two exhortations of Solomon's in connection with seeking wisdom. When we read that word wisdom, keep in mind in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto the wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. What I would like to do to consider with you tonight, in light of these exhortations from Solomon to seek after wisdom, the striking similarity between the wisdom of Proverbs and the incarnate word of the New Testament. You remember when the Lord Jesus met the two on the way to Emmaus, and he opened their, and he was talking to them, and he started to explain about Moses and the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I think that there are some striking similarities, if not meant to be similarities, perhaps direct revelations of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ here in the book of Proverbs. So with the exhortation of chapter 2 and verse 2 in mind, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Remember what Paul told the Philippians? I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Seek her as silver. Search for her as hidden treasure, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's going to be something like a sword drill. You're going to have to keep your finger in Proverbs and flip over to the New Testament. And we'll be back and forth looking at some of the similarities between the two. The first in chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Turn over to Luke chapter 13. And verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stone them that are sent unto thee, How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me again until the time when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. John chapter 1. And verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 18. The Lord Jesus is standing before the high priest, and the high priest in verse 19 asked Jesus concerning his disciples and concerning his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I have ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple. Whether the Jews always resort and in the secret place, have I said nothing. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting. You have to go back to verse 12 to see that it is wisdom that is speaking. From the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I by him. As one brought up with him, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. John chapter 1. And verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Verse 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I knew I had missed one. I read you chapter 4 in Luke, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Chapter 3 and verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And the voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. Again, wisdom is speaking from verse 12. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Back to chapter 8 in Proverbs. Verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, at the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Verse 21. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast revealed that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. That was the one I missed in Luke chapter 4, where he stood up, and when he was done speaking, they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Back to, for a change of chapters in Proverbs, back to chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And verse 27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell in safety. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, again in verse 1, wisdom is the one Solomon is talking about. We'll read in verse 4, Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 32. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life to the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Wisdom saith, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Back to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The last three verses of chapter 8. Take them one at a time. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. John chapter 6 again. John chapter 6 and verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I knew I couldn't get through all this without messing up real bad. Verse 32 in Proverbs is the one I wanted. Now therefore hearken to me, O ye children. Blessed are they that keep my ways. And that we've got to go to John 15 for. Blessed are they that keep my ways. John 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be filled. Now verse 35 in Proverbs 8. And whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That's John chapter 6 and verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The last one is a rather somber one. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22. And Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and our children. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. We've gone through them very fast. Perhaps it's food for thought. I enjoy the similarities. I hope you did. There's one more that's not in Proverbs. It's back in the book of James. In James chapter 3, James says in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated. Verse 20 of Proverbs 8 says, I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. I lead in the way of righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The pathway which he designed, the pathway in which he leads, is a pathway that is designed by the personification of wisdom. On every pathway, in every situation, when He is directing, we can know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. We might not understand. We might stop and ask why. But oh, the comfort that we can enjoy, that we can gain from knowing that the one who ever lives to make intercession for us, our great high priest, is the very essence of wisdom. I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. But this I know, at His right hand is one who is my Savior. And the one who is my Savior is the one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We're going to ask why on many occasions. But when we don't understand what comfort it can be in knowing that He does, in knowing that the way in which He leads is perfect, in knowing that regardless of the fiery trial, the pathway He has designed has been designed with all the wisdom of heaven. God, in all His wisdom, is still in control. And my high priest, the very essence of wisdom, is ever living to make intercession for me. What a joy and what a comfort that is. Certainly we can say with Paul, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed to Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. The one who lives to make intercession for me is the very essence of wisdom. What peace, what comfort, that little cleft in the rock where God covers me with His hand. I might not understand, but at His right hand is one who is my Savior. Father, we thank Thee for all that Thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank Thee most of all for that blessed man of Calvary. Oh, Father, the subject of Thy Son is so deep, so vast, it'll take an eternity to drink in. We thank Thee, Father, for the little glimpses we get of Him in Thy Word. We pray that these things would draw out our hearts to Thyself. Give us a greater desire to serve and please Thee. Give us a greater thirst for knowledge of Thy Son. Give us a greater desire to be conformed to His image. Bless us now as we part. And Father, we pray that Thou take us in our own separate ways in safety. Bring us again together, if it be Thy will. In the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.